The Obama administration flexes its antitrust muscles by blocking a mobile phone merger. Hundreds of thousands of homes are still without power after Hurricane Irene. The state of Florida is cracking down on abuse of prescription painkillers. And some Londoners are furious about the latest trend in luxury home renovations. I'm Pat Lyons with a preview of Thursday's New York Times. In our lead article, the Obama administration has filed suit to block the proposed $39 billion merger between AT&T and T-Mobile, two of the four largest cell phone companies in the country. Edward Wyatt writes in the Times that the Justice Department decided the combination would be bad for competition and bad for innovation because it would reduce the number of top-level cell phone providers in the country from four to just three. On top of that, officials said, the merger was likely to wipe out a lot of jobs at a bad time for the economy. AT&T said the suit to block the deal took it completely by surprise and that it would press for a fast review of the suit in court to keep the deal alive. Labor groups have generally supported the merger because AT&T, a largely unionized company, would absorb T-Mobile, which is largely non-union. But consumer groups were delighted to see the Obama administration take a stand after years of weakening antitrust enforcement under the Bush administration. They said the merger would lead to higher prices and fewer choices in a duopoly dominated by AT&T and Verizon. Kenneth Chang writes in the Times about how frustrated people are with the delays in getting their lights back on again after Hurricane Irene blew through over the weekend, knocking down trees and power lines and blacking out wide areas of the Northeast. It's especially bad in Connecticut, where 360,000 customers were still without power on Wednesday, and the whole state is postponing the start of the school year by a week. Throw in other states in the path of the storm, and the total was nearly 1 million customers with no electricity on Wednesday. Many of them won't get the lights back on until after the Labor Day weekend. People are mad, politicians are mad, and utility companies are getting beaten up in the media. In what some customers are calling insult on top of injury, Connecticut Power and Light is applying for a rate increase to pay for the repair work. And power isn't the only lingering problem in the storm zone. Towns affected by river flooding from New Jersey to Vermont have been told to boil their drinking water until further notice. Lizette Alvarez reports from Florida, which is trying to shake its reputation as the place to go to abuse prescription painkillers. Until recently, the state had more than 1,000 pain clinics, some legitimate, but others thinly disguised pill mills, and the state's doctors were buying nearly 90% of all the oxycodone sold in America. Now, though, the state is cracking down. More than 400 pill mill clinics have closed or been shut down by the authorities so far this year, double the number from all of 2010. And starting in July, doctors have mostly been barred from dispensing controlled substances themselves. One result is that many doctors have applied to set up their own pharmacies so they can go on selling the controlled drugs. Almost half of all the pending applications for new pharmacies in the whole country have come from Florida, according to the DEA. Another sign that the crackdown is making drugs like oxycodone harder for addicts to get is that the street price in Florida has nearly doubled to $15 a pill. More addicts are seeking treatment, officials say, in part because they can't afford the stuff anymore. In Washington, everybody's wondering about the speech on jobs that President Obama plans to deliver next Wednesday. Will he highlight his sharp differences with Republicans on what is best for the economy? Or will he take the pragmatic road and stick to ideas that he thinks will attract Republican votes in Congress? Jackie Calms writes that the challenge for the president is to somehow do both. Another bitter partisan showdown with the Republicans, like the one over the debt ceiling, will probably just spook the credit agencies and the bond market, Ms. Calms writes. But the kinds of measures that might find bipartisan support, like tax credits for expanding companies, are not likely to bring the big jumps in job creation that the economy needs. And politically, they aren't likely to satisfy progressives, who are calling with increasing urgency for aggressive New Deal-style spending programs to put lots of people back to work. The Republicans say ideas like that have no chance of passing. Soad McKennett writes for the Times from Berlin about a man the German authorities say is a major security risk who looks more like a character from a rap music video. Abu Malik, as he is known, actually was one of the most popular rappers in Germany for a while under the name of Deso Dog. Now he has a different musical career, singing Islamic devotional songs known as nasheeds. And the police say he uses the music, along with inflammatory videos and fiery speeches, to incite violence and unrest among young people who are angry about what they see as a Western campaign against Islam. Abu Malik and the radical ideology he's accused of spreading are in the spotlight this week in Frankfurt. The trial of Arid Uka, the young man accused of shooting up a bus full of American airmen at the Frankfurt airport in March, killing two of them, got underway there on Wednesday. Mr. Uka, who has confessed to the attack, is a friend and follower of Abu Malik, whose real name is Dennis Cuspert, and he says he was motivated to shoot at the bus by a video Mr. Cuspert posted on his Facebook page. The police say they don't have enough evidence to go after Mr. Cuspert for inciting terrorism, but they can still prosecute him for crimes he committed as a rapper. Finally, a striking trend in British real estate. People who own luxury homes in London and want to expand them often bump up against zoning laws that limit the height and the footprint of their houses, especially in the most desirable older neighborhoods. When they can't build up and they can't build out, they're expanding in the only direction that's left, downward. To the considerable chagrin of their neighbors, they're bringing in powerful excavating equipment and digging deep, deep new basements, sometimes four floors down into the ground. The new underground space is being used for servants' quarters, squash courts, swimming pools, wine cellars, saunas, bowling alleys, waterfalls, exercise rooms, and even multi-level garages with special elevators to shuttle vintage cars up to the street. You know, all the must-have amenities that are easy to include in a sprawling American mansion, but just won't fit in an ordinary Edwardian townhouse. The construction work can be lengthy, dirty, disruptive, and very noisy, and it sometimes damages surrounding properties. In one case, it even caused part of a street to collapse. Needless to say, the excavation projects drive the neighbors crazy. And that's a preview of the front page of Thursday's New York Times. For more on these and other stories, pick up a copy of the paper or visit nytimes.com. From the New York Times newsroom, I'm Pat Lyons.